Blog Talk Radio.
Stephen Jones, I apologize. That's my error. Okay. Forgive me. Forgive me for that. Mr. Stephen Jones is Associate Dean of Villanova University. He's the author of 3 books and education expert. He is also the CEO of SHA Publishing and Education Services. Today he will be discussing how to get your children or your child prepared for college. Take the show, sir.
Okay. So I just want to make sure, are we going to be asking questions back and forth? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry about it. Dr. Stevens, what would you suggest, or what would be your expert opinion in helping a parent prepare their child or their children for college? What would be the first thing that you would advise them to do?
Okay. So one of the things that I think is really important is not to wait until high school to think about preparing your child for college. You know, a lot of the parents, they are educating their children up to that point, but there are things that should happen, I say, from birth that prepare your child for college.
Oh, okay.
And those early, the early years are when the children are so much like sponges and can learn so much that is input to them. And so parents can expose them to all kinds of reading programs and fun math programs and different types of events that are all educational early on when they're in those, the first year through fifth year, having those educational experiences. And when you're sending them to let's say you have to actually place them in a child care center, you want to make sure that child care center has an educational component, not that they're just there all day, and that they're actually taking something in that will help them to move forward into their first K-12 experience with some base knowledge of how to read and how to do some basic math. So I think it's really important to start early and start the conversation with your child early about college.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. So when you said they should learn a little bit about math, maybe ABCs, a little reading, being prepared at home, not just at school, the parents should be working with their children?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think is really – the one of the things that I did with my children is – we didn't wait again till high school. They were going to college visits when they were young children. We were going to various activities on the college campus. There were often plays and concerts on the college campus, and it's much cheaper for your family to take advantage of it on a college campus than it is at the general public.
Yes.
So I'm always
yes.
encouraging that as well. And then That I think what that does is that opens up conversations with your child, even from our early years, about what college is and what it's all about. Here in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia, they started a new program for third graders. They want every one of their third graders to visit a college campus. And they're connecting with a program called Junior Achievement, where they're coming to the schools and telling them what college is all about and what they expect to see and what the students are like. And they prepare them with questions. And then they come to the college campus. We hosted about 200 students on our campus, 200 third graders. And just to give them input, we made it a fun event, but also we were planting seeds that we want them to actually be on the college campus.
Okay. All right. Want to actually be on the college campus. Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
So you suggest taking your expert opinion, not just a suggestion, but I take you seriously, to go to college events. You don't mean just basketball or football. You're talking about theater and the arts and things like that also, right, sir?
Absolutely. So we want to give them some of those educational events. I think it's always awesome when a child is reading or even a middle schooler is reading a certain book, and then they actually go to see the play, and very often the schools, the colleges have plays on their campus, and you can actually go to see the play that you're reading about. So it gives the whole visual behind what you're reading, and maybe for a student who's a visual learner, it would come through more clearly because they've actually seen it and they can discuss it with their teacher. They can discuss it with their parent because they've actually been there. So I think that all of that starts early. The other reason why I think third grade is so significant is unfortunately there are people out there who are predicting the number of prisons that should be built based on the achievements of third graders. And if they're far, far behind, then we're positioning them for not having success later on in life. And so that's why I wanted to start this whole conversation around, you know, working with them as they're very young to get them ready. And just like getting the parents' mindset that my child's going to go to college, my child is going to achieve. And I'm not against trade schools either. I mean, there's this trade school opportunity, but it still requires additional training beyond high school to do that as well. And that's an educational opportunity. You don't want someone as a carpenter who can't measure the amount of wood that they're going to need for your house. So there's still some skill sets that they need develop over the years to be able to do that.
That's true. That is true. The people will probably in the future always need plumbers, electricians, mechanics, things like that.
Yeah, and some of the newer jobs, like, they're going to be
computer
flying around.
Computer programming.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, I understand what you're talking about when you said the planning around it. You're talking about the school to prison pipeline.
Right. Yes, and we want to be a part of getting rid of that school to prison pipeline.
Yes, sir.
Especially when we know where the problems are. You know, where the breakdowns are, and when we see patterns where children are in the third grade but reading at the first grade level or less than that, then we know that's a problem, and we know where that trajectory is at. And I think the other thing that's important as you're preparing your child for college is that the parent is very engaged with the school. I think sometimes parents send their children off to school and they expect the school to do all the education when they can be a major part of the child's education as well. So I encourage parents from day one all the way through high school that they stay engaged with the school that their child is in, because that's going to help them to get more support. That's going to help the school to understand that you are looking out for the best interest of your child and giving them.
Yes,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say, also, as they get older, help them deal with peer pressure and concentrate more on their studies, what they're really good at, too, and strengthening the skills or like math or algebra, geometry, trigonometry, or whatever it is that they're not that good at. Strengthening mm-hmm. those areas, and also applauding and congratulating them on the areas that they are the strongest in.
Right. And the whole goal is to strengthen them to make them have as much knowledge as possible. And the other thing I would share with parents is that it's a good thing to get your children tutoring. Sometimes parents think, well, if they need help, then maybe they're not as good. But students get good because they've been tutored by their teacher, or sometimes there's a college student available that can tutor their child. Some people have their own little tutoring agencies, or right in Philadelphia, we have an organization called Mighty Writers where they teach students how to read and write. So these supplemental kinds of learning experiences are important for children's development as well, where the child will feel more confident in themselves and their abilities because they have tutoring. And the other thing is, I found out that other children are getting tutoring and you're not. So you're thinking, wow, this child is so much smarter than me. Well, they are, because they got tutoring.
So what are you suggesting? Taking more classes for the parents?
I think, you know, sometimes the parents don't know themselves, and there are resources even to help the parents, but you have to ask the school district what is available to help us as parents help our children to learn. And that's one of the things that I've been doing over the years, is actually, because I want the students to come to the college and be successful. I don't want them to drop out. So I've been doing some things with the parents over the years to help them understand. That's why, you know, I've been making sure that, just like my parents were the first people, I was the first person in my family to go to college, and there were a lot of things that they didn't know that a parent who's going to college can tell their child. So the better that parent is prepared, the better their children will be prepared for what they're about to go into.
Yes, sir. I understand what you're saying. I think that's wonderful that you're the first to do that, and I hope your other family members, even your cousins, nephews, or whatever, you know, nieces, did the same as you. By your example, I hope they did that, because that's what happened in my family. My mom went to college, and all the other children went to college.
Mm-hmm.
What is your perspective on home school, teaching your child at home?
With the
curriculum and things mm-hmm. like that, not letting mm-hmm. them go to school until maybe like the 11th, 12th grade. Homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen some really good homeschool children, and I've seen a few that have had challenges. And so you have to know what your because the parent has to be really committed to homeschooling and to ensuring that the types of assignments are always done, and that they're done in such a fashion that the child is not behind where they should be. So I think it's beneficial where there's a parent that can actively engage in the process. I've seen combinations of that. I've seen combinations where a parent will K through eighth grade have them in homeschooling and then send them off to a local high school. But it gives them time to be more selective and send them off to a local high school. Or there are also programs where we're homeschooling, where you're homeschooling, but throughout the week, there are these group gatherings of homeschool children who come together in certain settings. So
yes,
that's another
sir.
Way to kind of get them out of the house. So I'm not against it. In fact, I was reading an article yesterday about, which this is a whole amazing thing, a 10-year-old who was homeschooled who went to college at 10 years old.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And just finished his physics degree at 14, and now he's going to pursue a PhD. And then his 9-year-old brother is now 11, and he's going off to college and majoring in engineering and physics.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's amazing. But one of the things that he did, So they were asking her, what did she do that helped her children to be so good in mathematics? I think, first of all, it was a gift. And secondly,
yes.
she nurtured that gift. So she didn't, because the children were ready early on, and you know, as a three-year-old, she was teaching them higher levels of mathematics. So sometimes we as parents need to, if the child is there and ready, we just need to lead them into opportunities that are give them a whole different kind of educational experience. And she was able to find that. So I just encourage parents at the next level. So we're talking about K-12, but at the next level, when they get to high school, they're going to be honors classes. They're going to be advanced placements classes. We call them AP classes, that your student and you working together shouldn't be afraid to get into those higher level classes, because
right.
that's really going to prepare them for success.
Yes.
I often see situations where a student's in a really, really good school and they have plenty of AP classes, but when you go there, it's one or two students of color in the class.
Yes.
And,
yes. I remember having in high school, having a friend that was like that. I was not in the honors classes, but her mother was a teacher, and her, they were both educated, 4-year degrees. So they really found that education was very important to them, and they didn't allow for nothing lower than a B+, or B. So grades are tests. So yes, there's still honors classes, high honor classes and things. I did not know that.
Right. And we fell into it. My wife and I, we fell into it. We were both first generation, so we didn't know about advanced placement classes. But as we start talking to other parents in the middle school, they were already talking about these advanced placement classes for high school. And we're like, well, what are those? And then they were explaining them to us, like, oh, our daughter's going to be in those classes. And when she went off to college, she had 30 credits because she had passed the AP test. There's a test at the end of the year that you take, and if you score 4 or 5 on that test, then you can take 3 or 4 credits to college with you.
Yes, sir.
And we were like, so that was enlightening to know that you could actually go to college with so many classes already behind you.
Oh, yeah. They still do that then. They still let the kids, the teenagers, do dual. Like the kids
so,
go to a vocational technical school, or they can go to a college, a local college, and get college credits and go to the high school.
We have those.
I didn't know that.
Agreements. I guess they over the years they worked it out with the advanced placement office. When you've been in that class all year, let's say you're in an AP calculus class, you're in the class all year, and this is why you're in high school, and you take the AP test in May, and you pass that test with a 4 or 5, that credit is transferable to your college. But they also have partnerships where it's a dual enrollment, they call it. You're in high school, but you're
dual
taking
enrollment.
Community college. Yeah, yeah, dual enrollment. So you're taking 2 community college classes while you're in high school, and you can transfer those credits in as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you have a couple of options in terms of getting that kind of preparation. But the teachers who are teaching the AP classes mostly are trying to teach at a college level. So
yes.
I will say that my daughter had to spend a lot more late nights studying than a lot of the other students who may have been done by 7 o'clock in the evening. She would still be working up to 10, sometimes 11 on it. But,
yes, sir. I just want to say, I know I'm interrupting your dialogue here, but I would like to say to the people listening, Dr. Stephen Jones is a very intelligent man. He has did a whole lot. He's been on Essence, Ebony, Good Morning America, and I'm happy to have him on Show Talk with Angela Butler. He's also received an award. He's also received awards, and he's very much an overachiever, which don't take that the wrong way, because some people take that an overachiever is something bad. That's great. Everybody should be that. Everybody should be an overachiever. But what I said is he has did so much for the students, and some of his awards are Distinguished Toastmaster, Toastmaster District Award winner, National Society of Black Engineers, won the Black Engineer of the Year Award. It goes on and on. The Drexel University Chapter National Society of Black Engineers has recently named an award after him, after Dr. Stephen Jones, to acknowledge his efforts. And the award is titled, for students, this award is titled Dr. Stephen Jones Award for Academic Excellence. And it is presented to a student who has academic excellence throughout their enrollment and who has shown that or demonstrated that. So, Dr. Jones, I was looking at your website here. It's www.drstephenjones.net here. It says 12 benefits to you, sir. Can I ask, go over some of them?
Say that one more time.
12 benefits to you. I was looking at your website. www.drstephenjones.net.
Yes.
I'm letting everyone else know this is his website. I'm looking at your bio here. It's very impressive, which I'd already knew all this about you. I also know that you are an associate dean of you're also the associate dean of student in the College of Engineering at, I hope I pronounced this right, Villanova University.
Yes, you absolutely got it right. And I just have another passion, which is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And I've been fortunate to work in engineering colleges for the last 30 years, just really helping our young people to get into professions that are so critical to this country, to have more African-American engineers. And I was just doing a presentation to students last night. And in the year 2000, there were 5% of all engineering graduates were African-American, 5%. As of 2015, 4% were African-American graduates. So we're going in the wrong direction.
Yes, sir.
And we need to turn that around, and that's why I'm always talking about math, science, physics, and trying to encourage our young people that they can do it. We built the pyramids, so we certainly can. We still have gifts and talents in math that has yet to be tapped. And I'm so fortunate and blessed to be in the College of Engineering to ensure that we continue to increase diversity of African Americans and Hispanics who come into this field and then go out. And the fun part of it now is that I've been doing it long enough that my college students are bringing me their 18-year-olds.
Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Wow, that's a compliment, too. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
You made that much of an impression, and you taught them that much, so they bring their children to you. That's a compliment. That is a huge compliment. Yes, sir, it is. I'm going to go back to a little bit of what you said. You said something about the not being in the, what do you call them, APA classes. Am I correct?
Yeah, AP classes, AP. They're called advanced placement classes.
Advanced placement classes, yes, sir. I do know that's a fact that there are only one or two blacks in those classes, and I think maybe perhaps there's some kind of stigma to being in those classes because I don't think it's great listening to all the music, all the rap music. I'm glad that young black men and women are achieving, but as role models, they're role models too. And I know I'm glad black people are succeeding and are successful and everything and are famous. That's good. But the kids, the younger people are trying to be like that. And at one time I thought it was more of the races. But now I realize it's everybody. Everybody, a lot of people, children are trying to be like the rappers that see on TV, in the videos, and on the internet, on YouTube, or wherever they see them.
Yeah.
And that's
and
not good. They shouldn't want to be gay. I'm sorry, they shouldn't want to be pimps. And young women shouldn't want to be called hoes. Not a good thing. And they shouldn't want to be strippers. Yeah, so there's a stigma attached to going to those classes. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's cool. I'm going to use the word that probably young people don't use in a cool hip.
Right.
To not to be in those classes, and that's backwards. That's wrong. Something's twisted. Somewhere everything has got twisted over a period of time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, and that's where, going back to the parents, you had to be a supportive parent to not allow that peer pressure to hinder your child from getting their best education, because that your child has to live for themselves, and the projection of the various things that they see in the media, it's interesting. I was reading an article months ago about how the rappers, very often, the things you see on TV, they don't even own them. The cars and the jewelry and this and that.
No, a lot of them are very intelligent, highly intelligent, well-spoken. Yes.
Yes. So they're just using you to get your money as a young person, when you can be earning your own money by having the credentials to do it and to run businesses, to be entrepreneurs yourself, to be consultants, to become the next engineers and physicians and makers of cars and owning real estate. So we can do that, but we had to make a decision in terms of what, not being be concerned about how popular you are, but how knowledgeable you are.
Yes, yes, that's what I was trying to get to, trying to say. Reverse it. Not how popular you are, but how knowledgeable you are, reversed, because it's got twisted in there. Everything's got twisted, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And the peer pressure, don't give in to the peer pressure. Teach them how not to give in to peer pressure. And I just like says, a lot of those rappers have companies, and they're entrepreneurs, and have their own record labels. They call them labels now. They don't call them records anymore. More that much. They call them CDs and things like that, but it's still records to me. So what I'm saying is, they have their own companies. A lot of them do have their own record labels. They have their own, film studios where they produce movies. I think it's Ice Cube. Him. Yeah, he produces his own movie, so does 50 Cent. So you're making them rich.
And you're not obtaining it for yourself, but you're ensuring that they get rich. I think I heard 30 seconds.
Yes, sir, you did. And you have about 14 more minutes. Yes, sir, you have 14 more minutes.
Oh, okay, so it's okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So just continuing, I was thinking about the whole college visit and how important that is when you're actually now, let's say now you are in high school and you are ready to go visit college, you have to have a plan. And that plan should be, what are the top five colleges that I want to visit? And you don't have to wait until the senior year to do those visits. You can start in the ninth grade and start visiting some of the colleges. And some of them, there's actually these college tours where you get on a bus and you go down to like several different colleges and maybe even stay overnight and then go visit a few more colleges and come back.
I'm sorry about that. There's technical problems. See, that's why I don't like to do three-way. I'm the only one that's supposed to be hearing that. And when it's technical problem, you really have about 14, 15 minutes left. You hear it, and it gets the person I'm talking to off track. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
So I was just saying that you can actually plan and make sure that you know which colleges you want to visit early on, and then go meet with some of the students and go on the tour of the campus, meet with some of the faculty. You have, if you're waiting until the last year, then you might be a little stressed because you're going through so much and just making sure that the senior year is finished that you don't get to the colleges that you want to visit. So I suggest to parents starting in the ninth grade to actually go do these visits. And not just visit the college, but while you're there, call the college before you go and say, I want to meet a faculty member in your department. I want to meet someone that's doing a project in your department so they can get a sense of what the entire college is all about.
Yes.
And recognize that the colleges are all different sizes. Some are smaller colleges. They're 5,000 and below. Some are medium-sized colleges, which would probably be, you know, above 5,000 up to maybe 15,000. And then there are larger colleges, which are in the 15 and beyond, 20, 30, and 40,000 students on a campus. And the implications of that is the amount of attention that you'll get from the faculty. The bigger the college, the less likely it is that you're going to have the actual faculty teaching in certain colleges. And then you might have teaching assistants who actually teach the classes instead.
Yes,
so
sir.
You want to make sure that you, you know, figure out what size colleges you want to visit. Take advantage of that, you know, starting early on, and you have a list of questions that you want to ask, and know and believe that there will be financial aid if necessary for you to go to those colleges, and then make a good choice. You know, making a good choice involves looking at the whole financial picture along with making a decision about the college itself.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it would be up to the parent. What type of college or university their child or children would go to, because I know, I'm trying to put this in the correct words, some young people are academically prepared for a four-year college, but mentally they're prepared for a two-year college or a junior college.
Yeah.
I mean, so how do the parents, could you talk about that a little bit? How would they go about knowing what the child is prepared? I know, I understand their parents, they should already know the children. But just
mm-hmm.
say, if they're undecided, if they want their 17-year-old or 18-year-old, let's say 17-year-old to go to a 2-year or 4-year, even though they have 4.0s, but mentally they're still kind of childish-like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make good choices.
Right, and that's you're right. I mean, the parent has to really study their child and see how much effort that they've been putting into their high school experience, then that high school experience preparation. So if they're always turning things in late, if they, you know, they miss a quiz or test, if they're not studying for any tests, if they are studying, they're not getting the good grades consistently, then you know, you had to look at those as being realistic. That's really where your child is at. Now, sometimes a young person will come out of a middle school, because it wasn't a strong middle school, they might struggle the first year. But you should see as a parent that they're continuing to grow, that in a 10th grade, 11th grade, you see progress. You see, you know, maybe they started with a lot of C's, but now they're getting B's and they're getting some A's here and there. So you see progress. And that should be the kind of student that has the potential to be successful in the college environment. But might need to go to a community college to start. So, you know, asking them, you know, asking the young person, how, you know, this, what do you think is a indication of a really good student? What should that student be doing? What should a college-ready student be doing? Ask them an open-ended question to see what they say. They might say, I don't know. Then you really have something to measure by.
Yes, sir.
That they don't have a, you know, understanding of what it really takes to be a successful high school student and then a successful college student.
Yes, sir. You're located, the university is in, I want to make sure I have this right, in Springs. Well, I don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, I'll say, well, I'm located in Springfield, but Villanova University is located in Villanova, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question. At your college, or university, do they have some, like, requirements, like the students have not extracurricular activities, that's the wrong word, but have community service, or, like, in a church or something, to be well-rounded? Because to me, that makes it harder for African-Americans. To me, it does. Because I hate to do this, because people really hate when a black person does this, but some of them are not in the best neighborhood, so getting the community service hours is not always good. What do you have? Does your university require that, and do you recommend that? Was that a good thing?
Yeah, you would be amazed at the things that, and I grew up in the environment that you're talking about. So
yes,
you'd be amazed at the number of different types of programming that is going on in the community. That, you know, we had a community recreation center. They had a bunch of programs. We had, like you said, the churches. We had the city itself. They had some programming going on. You had the Boy Scouts. You had the Girl Scouts. You had 100 Black Men. You had 100 Black Women. You had some sororities and fraternities. So there were things going on, but the parents also had to be seeking them. Sometimes
yes,
it wasn't thrown
about
in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Because just because a neighborhood is labeled something or called something, maybe truly is what is being named, it does not mean everybody in that community or that neighborhood is trying to do bad. Because about 8 out of 10, most of the parents are trying, working hard and making sure their children are all right. You know what I'm saying? They're working, some of them are going to school, and they're trying to make sure their children are okay. But I think it's wrong when you just stigmatize somebody, a whole neighborhood like that, as a bad, or you call it. I don't think that's right, because 8 out of the 10 people there, to me, in my opinion, are doing everything they can right and legal.
Yeah, they want the best for their children. Yeah, I agree. And I think the one thing you're asking also about, do colleges look at those kinds of activities as important? So all the colleges are real competitive in terms of what your grades are, what your SAT score is, what your ACT score is, and they get hundreds of applications. One of the ways that they distinguish students is how much they have volunteered. Even in low-income communities, there are things that you can do to volunteer for the local community center,
in
for a senior citizens home, for your church. You can tutor other children. So pursuing those opportunities, they distinguish the child. That when I'm looking at all these thousands of students, I see what they've done to contribute to others.
Yes.
And I think part of that is saying that we want them to be leaders. So one of the ways they show their leadership skills is by helping others.
Okay. Yes, sir. That
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
So we look at that. We look at have they started their own program where they're a leader of this program and they started a new initiative to help young people in their community learn how to get involved in helping others as well. So if they're a leader of an organization, you can sometimes trace when they started and now that they become, for example, the president of their chapter that's in their community. So we look at those kind of things as valuable. Of course, if they're in athletics, we look at the captains of the team, look at the leaders there as well. So it's often good for a student to also think about, ways that they can get involved in things outside their community and help outside their community. And I think that's what really helped me. I got outside of my community. I got outside of the four blocks in which I live to explore the greater world. And I would say to parents that's a good thing as well when there are programs. I have a Saturday program, for example, where I send buses into Philadelphia. I send four buses, and we select students for our engineering program, pick them up from the city, and we bring them out to campus, and they're with us from 9 to 2:30 for 7 Saturdays. So we're teaching them all about engineering and science. Well, a lot of colleges have similar types of programs. So the parents, if you're listening right now, I just encourage the parents to call these colleges, call their science departments, call their engineering department, call their nursing department, find out what's going on. And now is the best time because we're at this phase where we're starting to roll out information and websites for these kinds of programs that will happen next summer. And some parents are ahead of other parents knowing that they need to get into it right now. So I just want to encourage parents not to wait until March to say, okay, what am I going to do for my child for the summer?
Oh,
no,
okay.
You should be starting to look right now.
Right now, yes. Yes, and also I'm going to encourage people to go to Dr. Stephen Jones' website, where you can find a whole lot more about him. He has books and just a whole lot of things on here. He can help. He has workshops too. The website is once again www.drstephenjones.net, and it has different tabs you can click on, your home bio, workshops, a lot of things. And I was looking at 12 benefits to you, and the last one is number 12, create an education plan for your family that leads your children to great careers. And I think that's wonderful, and everyone that's listening, this is more than worth going to the website and finding out more. We have about 1 more minute, sir.
Okay. So I would like to thank you for inviting me out and to be on the program. I want to encourage parents and young people to know that they can do it. They can have success in the college experience, that they have to plan now and not wait until the last minute. And seek your resources, counselors, talk to people on the college campus, get connected with programming in your community, and think about summer programs that will lead your child to success.
In college. And taking the kids to college, like seeing a theater play, musical performance, or at Christmas, the Nutcracker. I'm serious.
Yes, absolutely.
And like you said, it's cheaper. It can be cheaper sometimes.
Right. And sometimes the theater and different programs are looking for young people to participate.
Yes.
So just by exposing them and putting them into the programs can change their life as well.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela.
Thank you,
Dr. Stephen Jones.
Thank you very much. I was really pleased to be a part.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.